support you.
Pardon?
It was on one of the networks, which has to be accurate. I don't even know which one. It wasn't the New York Times.
How critical is Illinois to you?
Oh, of course, Illinois is very critical. We're counting heavily on Jim Thompson for a great deal of support and help, and he's giving that. He has a very wide leader, did have the last poll over Mr. Hallett. But I think there is, again, some movement. It's still very volatile, and Illinois is a priority state.
Will the president be in?
I don't know his schedule, but I would, if I wanted to make a calculated guess, I'd say yes.
Senator, apparently there's a difference between you and the president on the grain embargo. He's saying no grain embargo, period. You're saying no grain embargo except, and then you put a condition on it. Have you worked this out between you? Are you saying two different things?
Oh, I don't think so. We've been discussing the grain embargo since the second day I was on the ticket, and
But your view and Carter's apparently are now the same.
Well, I can't figure out Carter's view. When you read the platform and the Humphrey-Hawkins bill,
last night.
Well, I know what his latest position is, but there are four or five facets
to it.
What is
your position
right
now?
Let's take one more question.
Let's finish it, Larry.
My position is the same as it has been. I enunciated in Des Moines. You've got to give any president some flexibility in case of some crop disaster or some national emergency to impose restraints. But beyond that, it's much like force.
The president said no grain embargo, period.
The president has said that in view of the good reports and good crops we've had, that no embargo is likely, and I agree with that. I don't think you're going to have any embargoes.
He didn't say likely.
Well, why don't you read
what
it again?
What are you promising the
Anybody
farmers?
Else have a question?
There have been allegations that the FBI is investigating the fact that the president may have diverted funds from maritime unions to his personal use during his campaign. Do you have any response to that?
No, I don't know the facts. I suggest you talk to the president.
Have you talked to him about this matter?
No.
Senator, what came out of that meeting in Washington yesterday on your debate with Mondale?
We're going to check at this stop. I really don't know.
Thank you very much.
I'm already scheduled. I'll say a few words. I'm pleased to see the Russell Daily News getting this far. I knew it was an up-and-coming newspaper, but I didn't see my name in it. So I'll get a hold of Russ Townsley. It is good to be here, and as I've said before, we've had a couple of other farm stops, and I feel very much at home. I come from a small town, Russell, Kansas. It's not very large. I grew up with my father operating a cream and egg station, and in his later years, before he passed away, he worked in the local co-op elevator, and part of that time managed an elevator for Norris Grain Company. So in addition to having a little practical experience, I served on the House Committee on Agriculture for 8 years and on the Senate Committee for 8 years. And believe I know a little about some of your problems. I don't profess to have all the answers. Carter has all those answers. In fact, he has several answers for every issue, so you can take your choice. But I don't profess to have all the answers. And I know I'm realistic, and I hope honest enough to know that in the farm areas we have a few problems this year because of low prices, because of the hangover from the embargoes. We got to get to Russell's station here, tuned in. That's KRSL. So I'm realistic enough to know that there are some farmers and others who live in small towns and those that directly involved in agribusiness. We put them all together, we've got a pretty forceful block of voters and opinion makers, and they have a great deal of influence on the American scene. Many people say, well, why worry about the farm vote? It's only about 4.8%. Well, it's 4.8% of producers, and you add to that small towns and rural America and agribusiness, you get up a very, very high percentage. And I understand that some of you and probably some of everyone in America are less than totally happy with this administration. And I don't say that defensively because I want to try to contrast what I think has been a good administration with what I think could be a very bad administration for America's farmers. Now, I've been through a lot of farm bills, and, you know, somebody said, what should we do about the farm bill? And some farmer says, pay it and get on with something else. And that's about the way it's been in the Congress. We've had farm bills after farm bills after farm bills, but it wasn't until the Republican administration we started moving away from rigid price supports and controls to more of a free market and more independence for the American farmer. Now, I suggest that the farm program we have now, even though prices are low, is a good program. We may need to make some adjustments in that program next year, adjust the target levels, adjust the loan rates, and make some other changes. But I don't suggest we go back to a program of rigid price supports and controls. I frankly don't know what Governor Carter has in mind for the American farmer because he hasn't said. He said a lot of general things, a lot of broad things, but he hadn't said anything very specific. And I think I know farmers well enough. They're not much different in Illinois than in my state of Kansas. And I might add, if it hadn't been for the farm vote in 74, I wouldn't have been here. I'd have been somewhere else because they helped me out in a very difficult time. Yes, Democrats and Republicans and independents, because they felt I had some experience and some knowledge and have been of some help to the American farmer. Now, let me touch first on embargoes. I think that's a question of some concern. President Ford has said there'll be no more embargoes, and I think he added a caveat, though some newsmen have been questioning me on that. I think any president has got to retain the right, if there's some crop disaster or some national emergency or some international emergency, to reserve the right to restrain exports of any commodity, whether it's grain or whatever. Mr. Carter stated his position at the Des Moines Fair. I was there a day later. He said at the Des Moines Fair, he told thousands of farmers assembled, if you elect Carter, it'll end grain export embargoes once and for all. About an hour later, he changed that position. He said, well, there might have to be some embargoes in the case of emergency, but beyond that, he's changed it again. And I just ask you to get this month's Reader's Digest. Don't take my word for it. Get this month's Reader's Digest, where Governor Carter's had an interview, and he likes to have interviews. He's been interviewed by nearly everyone in America the past few weeks, and some just plain writing, some have a lot of pictures, but it's a pretty good variety of interviews. But he said in Reader's Digest that one of the causes of inflation were the excessive, and these are his words, excessive grain sales to Russia. Now, if they're excessive, that means to me we've sold too much wheat to Russia or too much grain to Russia. It means that Governor Carter, had he been president, would not have permitted that. And let me add another thing. In their platform, they talk about no inflationary grain sales. What is an inflationary grain sale? Was that if the farmer makes a profit? What did Orville Freeman say in the Journal of Commerce this past June? He finally admitted what many farmers knew in the 60s, that every time the price of corn went up, he had dumped some on the market. He found more out-of-condition corn during his term as Secretary of Agriculture than anyone in history. And he said he did all this to stabilize prices. Well, where I come from, my farmers say when you stabilize prices, you lower the price. That's price stability. When the government starts meddling in someone's affairs or the farmer's affairs. And just one other point. In addition, we have S-513 introduced by my counterpart, Senator Mondale. We have the Humphrey-Hawkins bill, both calling for export licenses. And I would just suggest you add this on top of grain reserves advocated by Carter and Mondale. Farmers better take a good hard look at what they might think would be a better opportunity for American agriculture. I don't think so. I can say that I've talked with President Ford. I would guess one reason I'm on this ticket is because I have some experience in agriculture. I can also add that if I am the vice president, and I will be come January, that I'll play a very important role in agricultural exports. And that's where the future of American agriculture lies, in exporting our commodities so that farmers and farm families and rural America can profit and the economy can profit. I want to mention one other thing, then if there are questions, I'll be happy to respond. I think farmers understand who's the candidate of organized labor. It's not Jerry Ford. It's not Bob Dole. It's Governor Carter and Walter Mondale. I understand Governor Carter's going to have two hotlines. He's going to have one to Russia and one to George Meany's office if he's elected president. That way he can get his orders daily from Meany, and if the phone rings from Russia, he'll know what to say. Now, someone asked George Meany why he didn't run for president. He said, why step down? He's got a pretty good grip on the Democrat Party. He's back in action. They know where their support comes from. They knew who's out registering voters. They knew who's out working in the vineyards. It's organized labor. And I don't quarrel with the rank-and-file working man. He's concerned about spending. He's concerned about a strong national defense. He doesn't want gun control either that Carter advocates. And I just say to American farmers, take a good hard look. Take a good hard look at who's pulling the strings in Governor Carter's race for the presidency. Now, George Meany sat out the 1972 election because he didn't like McGovern. But he's back in action now. We have the same liberal platform. We have the same liberal candidate, just with a different name. And on top of it, the man calling the shots are George Meany, Jerry Wirth, Leonard Woodcock, and other labor leaders. And I indicate to farmers, as I've said before, that doesn't spell any good news for you. If you look back the history of the embargo, you're going to find, and these are the facts, and go back and look at the chronology, it was a pressure of organized labor. They wouldn't load the ships. And that's where all the pressure came from. Now, President Ford may have listened to George Meany once, but he's going to have a daily contact with Governor Carter. We've learned our lesson. And I ask the farmers in this area and farmers in America to take a good hard look at us. We'll take our chances. And we'd like your support on November 2nd. Thank you very much.
You want to get some? I'd like to, before I ask you, you want to ask some questions?
Yeah,
I'd like to say a couple words here.
Senator, I think we have assembled here some of the finest people and farmers that you will find anywhere. This being the soybean capital of the world, all the farmers participate in our Land of Lincoln Soybean Association and the Illinois Corn Growers to promote our product for exports, and we've got to have them. But on behalf of them, I got a couple pins I'd like to present to you. One of the...
What was the announcement? Right. Well, we discussed this up in South Dakota last week because they, as you know, they're going through an extreme drought there. They're in the process of reviewing the entire program. And Mr. Butts announced about all he could announce. If you're going to have enough money to pay the losses, you're going to have the program sort of balanced financially. And so while they're in the process of trying to settle the claims and make certain it's the program can operate, they're also reviewing the program to see if it can't be extended, because some people, of course, very much need the crop insurance, but some don't take it until they've got a problem. And so if you're going to have a good ongoing program, you've got to have it fiscally sound, and I think that's in essence what he had to say. Yes, sir.
Senator, normally in an election year, we hear tax reform talk, and finally they've come up with an almost believable estate reform here. I'm wondering, after the elections, is there any chance that we could have something that's even a little more realistic as far as the farmer is concerned in the state tax reform?
Well, I don't want to say no, but I want to say that I'm a member of the Finance Committee, the Tax Committee in the Senate, and I want to give President Ford a little credit here, if it's all right, because he was pushing on the estate tax reform. I don't remember Governor Carter calling up any Democrats and saying, we've got to have estate tax reform. But we do have, because in many cases, and some senators would disagree, but I know in my state of Kansas, we had cases where they had to sell off part of the land to pay the estate tax. Now, we finally have a little realism in the estate tax procedure. I would doubt, and I only say this off the top of my head, I don't know what the leadership may have in mind, but I would doubt we'd see any changes in the estate tax from this year's. We've got a great improvement this year, a big step in the right direction. So I wouldn't see any change in that, unless, of course, Mr. Carter was elected and came about through some general tax reform. And he said a lot about that. I hope what he said is not what he means. But he says a lot of things that he probably doesn't mean because he's trying to get votes. But he did say that in his tax reform, all income is going to be treated alike. That's what he said, not what I said. That's what he said. And I know many farmers who sell equipment and have used the capital gains treatment, which is perfectly legal. You wouldn't do that anymore. There wouldn't be any capital gains treatment under the Carter plan. And I hope you keep that in mind. I just think farmers who are businessmen ought to take a look at Carter's tax proposals. He's talking about tax reform, about our system being a national disgrace. Well, he believes the investment tax credit. I do, too. I assume some of you do buy equipment. You like the investment tax credit. And I'm always wondering, when he's talking to the poor, he says he's always talking to the poor American people. He never tells them about the $41,000 he took off his tax in 75, and they only paid about 12.8% in taxes. And I think there's a bit of hypocrisy there. I'm for the investment tax credit. Is he? Is that a loophole? Apparently it wasn't, because he used it. But if you used it, he's going to be known as Loophole Carter one of these days. And we just want to know where the loopholes are and what he means by tax reform. So we're going to hang in there. Yes, sir.
Senator, on what issues of concern to farmers do you think the Democratic ticket is most vulnerable?
All of them. And I say that seriously. I mean, I don't want to... I recognize that I'm a Republican candidate, but I served on the House Ag Committee during the Freeman years, and I always had great respect for Orville Freeman. He had some for me. We never did agree. In fact, I accused him once of sending me on a fact-finding mission to India, and when I got there, I discovered I didn't have a ticket back. So we understand each other. I don't know what Mr. Carter's farm program is. I haven't heard him spell it out. There was something in the New York Times, that's a great farm paper, something in the New York Times yesterday about Carter's views on agriculture. I wish he'd tell us what his views are. But I think, if I understand, he's not going to tell us much of anything between now and Election Day, because his support is eroding so rapidly. Every time he opens his mouth, he loses points. Unless he just smiles a lot. But I don't think farmers... Do you want grain reserves in this area? I don't want grain reserves. And if you look at the grain reserve idea suggested by Orville Freeman, who I might add is Mr. Mondale's mentor, and if you watched the Democrat convention, every time you saw Mondale, you saw Freeman. Now, whether that means he's going to come back into the administration or just give Mondale farm advice, that'll be Freeman on one side and George Meany on the other, giving Mondale farm advice, I don't know. But if you're going to have a 300 million bushel reserve of soybeans, you've got controls right there. And I've worked with Bob Pogue, who's a Democrat, a very fine man, chairman of the House Ag Committee for years, trying to draft some language that would insulate crops from the market in a grain reserve. You can't do it. I don't care how high you pile it, sooner or later you have to sell it. And when you sell it, that means the farm price goes down. The price on the farm goes down. And I want a free market system. I want the consumers to be protected in America. But I don't want to pile up huge grain reserves and start paying storage costs and elevator costs. We've gone through that phase in America. I just can't see any reason why, if farmers look at it cold turkey, whether it's on a basis of taxation, a basis of grain reserves, a basis of price controls, they talk about that in the Democrat platform. It's in there. I didn't write it. If you talk about spending, 65 new or added to or increased spending programs, the Democrat platform, 22 new or expanded agencies. We figured out the cost of five was over $100 billion. You know, farmers are also taxpayers, and they're concerned about spending. If you want registration of handguns, that's what Mr. Carter advocated in Montana. The Democrats, the candidate for the Senate, had to issue a very quick statement saying he disagreed with Governor Carter. He didn't believe in that. So I just say, just take a good hard look. I think Mr. Ford has a good record in agriculture. He has a good voting record. And aside from that one blemish, I think it's perfect. Yes?
Senator, do you see any way of getting strikers on the food stamps?
I offered that amendment in the Senate Ag Committee a year ago, 2 years ago. I got four votes. Four votes out of 17 or 16. Now, the immediate reaction, of course, from some is that, well, you want people to starve. That isn't the point. It just seems to me that the government shouldn't be subsidizing collective bargaining. That's the point. We shouldn't choose up sides in labor disagreements. We shouldn't give food stamps to management or labor. But that's the law. Food stamps are provided. We are trying to make reforms in this area. And I don't want anybody to faint, but I worked on a bill with Senator McGovern on food stamp reform. We thought it was a pretty good bill. It's not going to pass, but it did two things. It took those off the rolls that shouldn't have been on, but let other people who should have food stamp benefits participate. And that's, in essence, what we did. Yes, sir. Well, I feel very strongly about safety. I don't want people to lose their arms or half their hand in some farm equipment because it wasn't properly protected. So I think we have some responsibility there. When I see, and you've seen the booklet put out by OSHA on safety around beef cattle. Have you read that one?
Yeah.
That'll really turn you on. Don't talk too loudly to your cows. Well, as frustrated as farmers are, they have to talk loudly to someone. Their wife chases them out of the house, they go out to the barn. And don't step on the manure, it's slick. And these were some of the revelations that, based on intensive study and a great deal of research, the bureaucrats were able to come up with and put in pamphlet form and make it available to all you people who didn't know all those things. Now, on a serious note, that was a very insulting pamphlet, in addition to costing about several thousand, I better hadn't put a figure on it or somebody will say it was not accurate, but several thousands of dollars. It was an insult to the American farmer. It was written for someone with about a first grade education, sort of like a Dick and Jane reader. And Senator Curtis of Nebraska had a great deal of fun with that, and we had a little meeting in our Ag Committee and decided to have hearings. They withdrew the pamphlet from distribution. I suggest to President Ford that would have been a good time to fire some bureaucrats and see if they couldn't write something else. But that's just one example of over-regulation and over-interference. So I would say that we want to protect health and safety, but not to the point we think it ought to be worked out on a conciliation basis, not on a confrontation basis. We're trying to get more money into that program so you can come out and get some advice. But you may know, if you've had any experience in this area, too often you were fined by OSHA before you had a chance to even comply with any of the regulations. Now, we're trying to change that from confrontation to conciliation, but we haven't had much luck. And let me say just one other thing, because you raised a good point. I would stop and think very seriously. I assume that the Democrats, we're going to reelect Ed Madigan, of course. That's a foregone conclusion. But the Democrats... In fact, if we get as many votes as he gets in his district, we'll probably carry the whole state 2-1. But in any event, the Democrats are probably going to control the Congress. Now, the one reason we still have some sanity around here fiscally is because President Ford has had the guts to veto some of the bills, 56 of them. And you turn the White House over to Carter, another very liberal president, a very liberal Congress, he's not going to veto anything. He's going to sign everything. I would assume he would, because he's condemned every veto that President Ford has made. That's another thing to keep in mind if you're a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent concerned about spending programs. Yes?
What are you going to do about unemployment rates and people who can't get welfare and all that stuff?
What are we going to do about unemployment rates? Well, we're going to try to bring a halt to inflation. The inflation rate's been cut in half by President Ford. There are 88 million people now working in America, the highest number ever. Over 3 million have gone back to work in the past 17 months. And so we're making progress. That doesn't placate or satisfy those who are out of work. But the 7.9% is a moving figure, part of it. Some people are changing jobs. More people are going back into the workforce because the economy is looking better and better and better. That's why some of the unemployment is there. People are out looking for jobs. The president has advocated and proposed to Congress an incentive program where the unemployment rate is more than 7%. That bill hasn't gone anywhere in the Congress, but the president's aware of it, and I think we're seeing some progress.
Senator, what about disaster relief for farmers? Do you propose extending that at all or increasing it?
Well, I'm certain it'll be extended. We have about 7 or 8 different disaster programs. We're going to have disaster programs because if you're wiped out or you have a drought as they've had in the Dakotas, you've got to have some relief. So there'll always be some disaster program. But I think the biggest disaster would be going back to rigid price supports and acreage allotments. That would be the real disaster for America's farmers. I think that's in essence what Mr. Carter advocates.
Senator, what's the administration's feeling on using food as a foreign policy tool?
Well, now, you mean tool or weapon?
Either way.
I think that's a mistake. I'm just talking my own view. I don't see how we can, and this is another thing that, Governor Carter's mentioned, using food as a weapon. In other words, if they would shut off shipments of oil, then we wouldn't sell any grain. Well, if we're going to adopt a policy, which I think would be short-sighted to start with, then we ought to make it apply to all commodities, not just food, not just grain. And I might add in that same connection, there's a program initiated by President Eisenhower back in the 50s known as the Food for Peace Program. I haven't heard Governor Carter mention one single minute or one sentence about the Food for Peace Program, which has indirectly helped farmers but directly fed millions and millions of people around this world because of the efforts of our American agriculture and our taxpayers. It's also helped create some markets and develop some markets. Well, I want a chance to go around and visit a while, so hopefully I'll just finish by saying we're not perfect. You probably already know that, but in case you didn't, I don't want to surprise anyone, but you can check my voting records and find some mistakes. You can probably check President Ford's. You can express some concern about the embargoes. That's a thing of the past. We've got to start looking down the road. And you're going to make the choice in this area, whether it's the Ford-Dole ticket or the Carter-Mondale ticket, and which ticket offers the best hope for American agriculture. That's what it's all about. And small towns and small farms and rural America and America everywhere. And I just believe that whatever else, any way you cut it, Mr. Ford proceeds as an honest, decent, open, candid man with competence and leadership abilities. And Mr. Carter is seen as fuzzy on the issues, saying anything that you want him to say to